21 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. This is the third session of the series, Our City, Our Music, Our Writers. Details at hillcenterdc.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on, get in that cell.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you the first Tuesday of each month at the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl on U Street in Washington, D.C. Only on the first Tuesday of the month do we come live from the Chili Bowl. And believe me, we're appreciative to the family and all the folks who support us and make sure we bring you this show. We've been on the air for 17 years, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long. And we've covered almost everything dealing with criminal justice, family, violence, and et cetera. And this morning is no different. And before we start, we open with what we call the grapevine. Information that you can use. The grapevine. Hey. How the U.S. turned away from the death penalty towards death by incarceration. The number of people in prison for life continues to climb, even as the overall prison population declines. Over a period of time, the overall number of people incarcerated has remained roughly the same, and the incarceration rate has dropped, suggesting that those serving life without parole make up an increasingly large share of the prison population. Use of the death penalty has declined drastically in the U.S., but that alone does not explain the growth of life and life without parole sentences. People convicted of homicides represent about 56% of the population serving life without parole as of 2024. But a significant portion of those serving death by incarceration sentences were convicted of offenses such as robbery, burglary, or drug crimes, and on the habitual offender laws. Boy, this is something. Here we go. Mississippi regularly fails to investigate rampant abuse by sheriffs and their departments. In Mississippi, allegations of jailhouse rape, brutal beatings, and corrupt acts by sheriffs and their deputies regularly go ignored by the state, even despite ample evidence. Something needs to be done to change that. DC officials announced reaccreditation of scandalized crime lab. DC's long troubled crime lab has won back a key accreditation 2 years after losing it following a 2021 scandal in which an independent panel of forensic experts concluded, among other concerns, that the lab made an error in testing ballistic evidence in two 2015 homicide cases and then refused to acknowledge the mistake. Boy, that's terrible. Here we go. Perverse incentives, how local governments might cash in on Trump's migrant detention. Some local officials see President-elect Donald Trump's promise of mass deportation as an answer to their budget rules. Then how could that be possible to lock up people and somebody gonna make money? Well, here we go. A county commissioner offers support for the sheriff's plan to rent more beds to ICE. Obviously, the more prisoners we have, the more revenue it produces. Butler County isn't the only entity that could see revenue rise with the deportation of immigrants. Trump's plan will require building a massive nationwide infrastructure, including centers to detain people awaiting deportation, contracts to provide food and health care services during their incarceration, and planes to fly them out of the country. Florida sheriff, fed up with school shooters, hoaxes, posts boys' mugshots to social media. A Florida sheriff, fed up with a spate of false school shooting threats, is taking a new tactic to try to get through to students and their parents. He's posting the mugshots of any offender on social media. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Thank you for tuning in to Grapevine. Now we get to our topic this morning. This is a two-hour show. For the first hour, we have joining us, and the topic is time for us all to get in, time to get involved. And that guest is Donnie Shaw, a retired MPD officer. Time for us to get involved in the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C., and he's the incoming president in a matter of a few weeks. And also joining him is none other than Shira Kimball, Diversified Resources Consultant, LLC, and Crossing into Independence. This lady got a story to tell, and guess what? All two of my guests are from native Washingtonians. Yes. So you ought to take your hat off, and I'll say, tell us to your hat. These are all Washingtonians here coming to you this morning, and they're concerned about let's all get involved to stop some of this foolishness that's going on in our city. First of all, we have Mr. Donnie Shaw. Time for us to get involved, and he's incoming president of the Rotary Club, and Shira Kimball. Thank you both for joining us on Crossroads.
You're welcome.
It's an honor to be here.
And it's an honor to have both of you native Washingtonians. We're talking about time to get involved, and we've been meeting, we're at the Chili Bowl, and one of the owners, Kamal Ali, Kenny Barnes, and a host of us, we meet right after this show every Tuesday at 12 o'clock to discuss plans and programs and projects that we can do to make our city safe. And we got two people here who are risking their lives. They're on the front line. They're in the trenches. They're doing what they're doing. And I looked at Donnie's resume. Man, you've been involved in almost every program in this city. And I don't know how we ain't run into each other. You ain't never locked me up, did you, Donnie? You was on the police force. You ever arrested me?
Let me clear my throat. Mr. Brown, I do have one disclosure. I appreciate that new title you gave me. I wouldn't mind being a member of the police department, but my daddy was.
Oh.
Yeah, my late father was a sergeant. One of the
so you
sergeants.
Didn't arrest me. It must have been your daddy that arrested me.
Yeah. So the world out there, no, I didn't. I didn't do a stint at the police department, but I did 37 years working at the YMCA of Metro Washington.
The one on 12th Street?
I started at Rhode Island Avenue, the big one.
Okay.
And that branch, I started as a part-time lifeguard. And then 37 years is what you're seeing on my resume, because the YMCA, as just no matter what position I had, I was engaged with the community, whether I was the aquatics director, the membership director, small branch director, and until my retirement, which was a year and some change ago, I retired as the community relations director.
Oh, beautiful. Right. And Shira, you want to give us a little bit about your background?
Yes. I am a Washingtonian, born and raised. I have a program called Diversified Resources Consulting, Crossing into Independence for foster care youth. I'm a product of the foster care system, so I want to give back. I was in foster care from the age of 5 months until 21.
Wow, all that time?
Yes.
You never met your parents?
I met them when I was 21.
Oh, what happened?
I met my mom. My mom was young and she just couldn't take care of me. So, yeah.
Wow.
Let's get that
family that
now.
Loved and cared for me. So, yeah.
You know, for you to be in foster care over 21 years, lady, I know one of the things we talked about on our show, and the reason why I asked you what happened, is that there's a policy depending on what state you're arrested in, that when a woman gives birth to a baby, in the year or 15 months or 2 years, if someone in the family does not claim their child, the mother lose rights to that baby for the rest of her life.
Oh, wow.
So when you say you were in foster care for 21 years, it made me think that maybe something happened like that. But that's one of the topics that we'll be talking about on this show, and we're going to try to stop that
that when they take a kid from their parent because of a felony or because of an arrest or a conviction, and that parent lose all parental rights, they won't even see their baby again for the rest of their life. That is cold-blooded. I mean, that is...
That's slavery right there.
So I want to thank both of you for being here. When you said, lady, that you've been foster care for 21 years and you're working with a program now, entrepreneurship, helping young ladies to get their life together, the kids in the age 9 to 12. And tell us what Building Bridges is about.
Crossing into Independence is a program for to teach resume writing, college application resources, and leadership skills. And we do that by using core competencies. They have interviewing skills, presentations. They learn entrepreneurship, and it's for grades 9 through 12. Yes.
Go ahead, Donnie.
You know, God brought us here for a reason, because this is a degree of separation. We have a past president of Rotary, and her name is Lisa Cohen. Yes. And she just got a law passed that young people coming out of the foster care system will not come out with their goods in black plastic bags anymore in the city. They're coming out with dignity in brand new suitcases. And this is what Rotary does.
What law was that?
It's called the Lisa, I think it's called the Lisa law.
That's right.
Lisa Cohen law. Folks, you can Google me and get me corrected. You're welcome. But this is something that our past president has done. And here I am sitting next to a young lady. Now, she's a foster child. And she was the president of Rotary last year.
Okay, wow.
She's a foster child.
And a professional prize fighter.
We'll knock you out. We'll knock you out.
Yeah.
And beautiful inside out. I plan on, as president, to continue her impact. Actually, I plan on continuing the impact of previous presidents instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. The only reinvent the wheel would be us getting involved with time to get involved. But this is something that you are a foster child, and the Y also looked out for foster children, no doubt. But the past president of Rotary is a foster child, and she's out there saving lives like you. And you know what? Why don't we look at working together? Because like Mr. Brown said, time to get involved.
Yes, absolutely. It's time to get involved. I'm one of the ground soldiers under the umbrella of Time to Get Involved and Roots reaching out to each other against gun violence.
Okay. And Kenny Barnes and Kamala Lisa, just that we have you on, because we meet every Tuesday. In fact, when this show is over at 12 o'clock, we meet every 12 o'clock here at Ben's Chili Bowl. And Lisa Cohen was a part of this. And when they said, let's bring some people from various community organizations on the show, we spoke at the Rotary Club, last year, and we were well received. And
it was a sold out show.
Huh?
It was a sold out show.
That's right. Can you tell our audience what the Rotary Club's purpose and?
Well, let me start with the tenets of Rotary, and this is why I had to tell the audience that I was not with the MPD, Metropolitan Police Department, because one of our tenets is it the truth? Is it fair? This is how Rotary operates. Is it fair? Will it build goodwill, such as the two of us, Ms. Kimball?
That's right.
Will it be beneficial to all, such as the youth in foster care? Now, the Rotary, it involves clubs around the world, in addition to right here in Washington, D.C. I am going to pull that up for you, because you caught me off guard with that one. But
we checked it out. There's over a million clubs and over several million members worldwide.
Now, that's when you have.
Okay. The Rotary Club has a million members and over a million people worldwide as members around the world doing good deeds and services.
Now, that's what you call having someone's back. And that's what we plan to do from now on, having each other's back. Thank you, Mr. Brown. You did just now. So just for GP, general purposes, a Rotary Club is a local chapter of Rotary International, a global organization of business and professional leaders. Rotary Clubs work together to provide humanitarian services, promote peace, and encourage ethical standards. What do the Rotary Clubs do? They provide humanitarian services, promote peace, encourage ethical standards, improve education, improve health, and improve access to resources, and help prevent youth violence from this day on.
That's right. Time to get involved.
You know, one of the reasons why the group is called Time for us to get involved is, like I said, we meet every Tuesday. When this show is over at 12, we go right into a meeting. And what Kamal Ali and Kenny Barnes and Tyrone Park and them guys have done is assemble a collection of all-star nonprofits, people that's doing services all in the community that we've known for the past 20, 30 years, who are getting results. And they all decided to come together. And the administrative arm is here at the Chili Bowl with Kamal Ali and them folk. And we're trying to see how we can secure funding for these groups. Because we have the horses, but we don't have the resources. We got folk like you two who are on the front line. You've been in foster care and you know what the problems are. And I'm glad that you reminded us about Lisa's law, Lisa Cohen's law, that when people are released from foster care, they got a black bag with all their possessions and a brown bag with a sandwich.
Absolutely.
And you're thrown out into the street or into the community. So all these play a part in terms of the safety, the well-being of our community. And for you to come out, I asked you the other day, we talked, and you said something. I said, well, you've been in foster care this long. Why are you doing this? Are you working with kids of incarcerated parents? And you said, my thing is foster care. And somebody asked me the same question. Why do we work on criminal justice issues for returning citizens? When you're affected, impacted by something, it's only logical for you to try to make it right or better for other people to come along.
Absolutely.
And so how did you get involved in it specifically?
I got involved with Time to Get Involved through Kenny Bond's roots, reaching out to each other. I also experienced a loss. My son, who was 18 years old, was gunned down in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So I reached out to his organization, Roots, reaching out to each other, and he was involved in Time to Get Involved. And so he brought me on as a resource. So now I'm one of the foot soldiers who's out here trying to help out, teaching foster kids how to write resumes, do interviewing skills and leadership, and how to get in college by resume, by college application resources.
Oh, are you getting any funds to run your program? How is your program funded?
No, I'm private. So I could use some type of resources. So that's another reason why I'm under the umbrella to try to get grants and loans to try to help out so I can reach many more students and participants.
And I'm glad you said that, because the meeting we have at 12 o'clock with Kenny Barnes and Kamal, and the name of the group is Time for Us All to Get Involved. It's a program to try to network, like with you and Donnie, but also with other community organizations to make sure that you get help. When he said, I got his back, we got your back.
That's right. Each one, reach one.
And there's funds available. And that's one of the things that we've been doing with the Time for Us All to Get Involved, is to direct and help folk to know that there are resources and funds available to help, because you're doing dynamic work. When you lost your son, that's a pain that never, ever goes away.
No.
And you're trying to give back or do something to prevent that from happening to somebody else, but you need help. You need resources. And folk, if you're listening to what we're talking about here on the air, please, y'all see what that man is doing in the White House. He's rolling back the whole world. In 2 weeks' time, he upset the whole world in 2 weeks. And he ain't even been in 30 days yet. And people mad, angry, and don't know what to do. But we know we don't expect any help from him, because he's talked about increasing the prison population, appointing more judges and who have the same conservative mean streak that he has. We need to come together. And somebody said something to me the other night that really made me smile. Said, no matter how dark it gets, the sun always shines.
That's right.
And at night, there's the stars. And the darker it gets, the brighter the stars shine. So, folk, no matter how rough or dark or disappointing it seems with our current administration, believe me, the sun always shines. There's a better day. I was serving life, was paralyzed, placed in solitary, sent to an insane asylum, had two shock treatments, and was scheduled for a lobotomy, and they didn't give it to me. And I was able to come back from all that, and I was below darkness.
Oh, wow.
But there's always another day, a brighter day. You are a shining example of that, Shireen.
That's right.
When you get knocked down and your heart is broken in a thousand pieces, you put them together, and now you're trying to help other people's hearts from being shattered into a thousand pieces.
Absolutely.
I take my hat off to you. And to you too, Donnie. I didn't know that you've been teaching swimming, aquatics. You've been
all my life, still doing it.
You part fish, huh?
I teach a rock how to swim. And if you think I'm lying, there's some of these folks out here. I've had the late Judge Luke Seymour as a student. I've had Courtland Malloy from the Washington Post, Julianne Malveaux, Marie Johns and her husband, Wendell.
Yeah,
I've had mom and dad of every flavor. I could tell you that when I was running the pool at YMCA National Capital on 17th and Rhode Island, right there next to St. Matthew's Cathedral, that big pool that people used to look down was my house. Six lanes, 25-meter pool. We even offer scuba instructions. Working with NABS.
Any of your students go to the Olympics, swim in the Olympics?
You know, that's a $64,000 question. That's the only sad part about teaching the world how to swim. You don't necessarily learn what happens down the road other than you know they can do a parasail or ride a banana boat or jet ski because you got them comfortable with deep water. I know that much because that's what we try to accomplish with these kids in aquatics, if I may say, to get them to the point where they have no more fear of deep water. They jump off a cruise ship if they wanted to. And you know, that ain't good, but they'll jump off. Let's just say they'll jump off a yacht. That's done by the big money.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, and they'll enjoy some of the fruits of aquatics from the activities such as competitive swim, lifeguarding. Lifeguarding is an economy, just as George Carville says, it's the economy, stupid. And that helps prevent violence. When kids got money early, as lifeguards making money more than adults, they're not going to get into violence very likely. So those are the end results that I know that can happen.
That's what I was getting ready to ask. The question is, how can you relate swimming and aquatics to making the streets safe or preventing crime or getting kids involved? What is it about swimming and aquatics that can help redirect or turn some of these youngsters around?
It builds confidence.
Beautiful.
It builds confidence. Beautiful. Ain't nothing more impressive than to watch a kid break their water fear with the doggy paddle.
What you mean?
When you see a kid jumping 10 feet with no questions asked, that's a hurdle, baby.
That's right.
It's joke time. It's time to learn how to, if the parents will hang in there for the years they would, if they put their kids in, let's say, basketball, if they were hanging there with keeping their kids and learn to swim for years, they'll thank me when I'm dead and gone. Because again, that child can go to any residential camp. You don't have to worry about them drowning in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably help another child.
Yeah.
Because one, in aquatics, they learn water safety, basic water safety. We have right now, underwritten by the Rotary Club, a program at YMC Anthony Bourne right around the corner, the first black Y in the world, right here out of D.C. We have right now Rotary underwriting, learn to swim in water safety. We have right now my late godson, bless his soul, Renee G. Haley. He has a foundation run by his mom and company, Sheba Burke. They are literally underwriting a year of swim lessons for two children. And the Y is underwriting a membership for the parents for that year so that the parents can be members and go in and out of that pool all the time, which is imperative for a kid to learn how to swim, is getting more time in the water as possible. And when those kids grow up, they're not gunslingers. They're not looking to hurt nobody. They're usually looking to make some money by the time they get done with the Donnie Shaw program, because I try to encourage the parents to put them in aquatics so that they can one day be a lifeguard, because we're short. We're going to Europe to get staff. So let's get our kids employed. But it's a long game, which time to get involved is. And working with people like Miss Kimball, who have foster kids that can get absorbed out in the mean streets.
Yes.
But we get them in aquatics, and see what that kind of character building looks like.
You know, you said something that gave me a flashback. I grew up in Washington. We used to go to Banneker, but the YMCA on 12th Street back in the 40s and
12th
50s,
Street Y, as many of you know it as.
They had a swimming pool in the Y, and we used to swim back in 51 and 52. And I don't mean to tell my age. Been 51.
You're like wine, Mr. Brown. You're like wine.
Wine that nobody want. So we used to swim in that YMCA on 12th Street. And when you said something about confidence, I was afraid to jump off of the hot tub. I was scared. I was afraid. But the minute I conquered that fear and jumped off that hot tub, my confidence grew. So what happened was I came back late that night and broke in the pool and kept on swimming.
Ain't that a DC thing? As Rodney, I can't remember my boy Rodney who tagged the word. It's a DC thing.
Yeah.
And that's a DC thing. Well, I used to do the same thing at Stanton, Fort Stanton Pool. I used to go after hours to swim. Yeah,
there you go. And that confidence, folks don't realize, if you're young and you're
jumping the fits,
if you got confidence, your walk changes. People accept you differently. Then you would be willing to try other things. Question to Sharia.
Shabby.
How can building bridges impact or turn somebody's life around? Kids coming out of foster care, you're helping them to help themselves. And how can your program help somebody coming out of foster care?
Like Donnie said, confidence, empowering them, giving them the confidence that they need to move forward and find jobs and go on interviews.
Yeah. And you said you didn't see your parents until you was 21. What happened? How did that transpire?
I've never met my father, but I met my mother when I was 21, and I went looking for her. I went looking for her, and she was 15 years old when she had me. So, and back in those times, parents, I guess they were ashamed when their daughters got pregnant and said that she couldn't keep me. So she left me in a hospital in a beautiful family, the Green family, brought me into their home and accepted me and cared for me as I was one of theirs.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out, you get you. You turned out a queen, young lady.
And how's your relationship now with your mom?
Well, my mom, she passed away 2 years ago. But as she got older and she developed dementia, I cared for her. I took care of her and just was there for her. But I love her. I love
you
her.
Was
and
awesome.
Actually, yesterday was her birthday.
Wow. Awesome.
You wasn't mad or angry or bitter with her for giving you up?
Kind of, sort of. I had to work through that. That was a process. So,
You have any brothers and sisters?
I have two biological sisters, and I have a sister and a foster sister and three brothers, three foster brothers.
That's so wonderful.
Are you seeing any impact or any positive results from what you're doing with building bridges? What yardsticks are you looking at or accomplishing? What kind of accomplishments are you making with building bridges to help these kids in foster care?
I'm just trying to bring them in and show them how to write resumes, send them out for jobs. And at the end of the program, once they complete it, they get a $100 gift card to go out and get interviewing clothes. If we have funds for that, but yes.
What would you say to somebody who's listening and listening to your story and how you went into foster care? What would you say to somebody who was in there getting ready to go in there or getting ready to come out? What wisdom would you give them? What nuggets?
Just hang in there, be yourself, confidence, look for some type of program or a service that can help you gain the skills and knowledge that you need to move forward. Just keep moving forward. Keep pushing. Don't give up. Okay. Don't quit. Beautiful. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill and the funds are low and the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to cry.
I love it. Keep it going. Yeah, that's great.
Don't quit.
Go ahead, child.
Don't quit.
You know, that's one of them. This is WPFW 89.3 FM, Crossroads, your station for jazz and justice. That's poem you quoted, Don't Quit. When I was in prison serving life, that's one of the poems I used when I wanted to commit suicide, when I wanted to escape. I just wanted to end it. And I read that poem, rest if you must, but don't ever quit. And usually, when you hit the hardest and you're down the lowest and you're at your darkest moment, help is right around the corner.
I've taught my kids that, and they love that poem.
And how many children do you have yourself?
Three kids. I've lost one, but two. I have a son who's 22 and a daughter who is 38.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And three beautiful grandchildren.
Yay!
Yes, I'm a grandmother.
Like they say, you don't look like what you've been through. Sure. So that's quite a blessing. Yeah.
You are a shining example, baby and lady. And it's, you are a role model for other folks that listen. You and Donnie. I mean, when folks go through... Anybody you meet been through some stuff. I don't care who it is. Everybody got a story to tell.
Yeah.
But when you get knocked down and stomped on the hardest, that's when you mustn't quit. And that's the thing we're talking about right now. Building bridges is about not quitting. What Donnie Shaw was talking about with the aquatic is not quitting. It's confidence. It's attitude. It's overcoming them challenges. Both of y'all have done it. Our show is about that. And I'm looking at you now. You got a smile on your face that make my hair grow.
Thank you.
And I'm bald headed.
That makes two of us.
We got the same barber. Okay, crossing any independence.
This is WPFW. FM on your radio dial. We are at the world famous Ben's Chili Bowl, 1213 U Street Northwest. We're here live until noon.
You know, also because of the COVID, we normally have a breakfast show, and we haven't recovered from the breakfast show because it just upset everything. But we normally had it planned where we do our show the first Tuesday of the month with an audience come out. People can have breakfast and sit down, participate in the show and ask questions. But now we just have, we haven't been able to bounce back from that. But the owners and the family of Chili Bowl has been gracious enough to allow us to continue to do our show. I don't know if y'all noticed, but when we have people like you all on our show, it warms our heart. Because we ain't talking to somebody who did a study or did a report and did an analysis on what could or couldn't happen. You're talking from life experiences. First-hand knowledge, and you got insights on how to reach our youngsters. Who ever thought that swimming could be a tool to be used to turn some of our kids around? We got a group called the OGs, Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies, and it just initiated a chess program. And would you believe chess, it's been a valuable tool to get these kids. And one of the things that the motto is, think before you move. And chess teaches them the consequences of it. You make a move, think before you make the move. A lot of times our kids just do things out of spontaneity and they get caught up in something and don't know how to get out of it. Absolutely. You know what I mean? But to have folk like you two here keeps Crossroads on the forefront and let folks know that if you got any problem, I don't care what it is, we have people on our show to come on Crossroads. We call it an all-star. You are part of our all-star team. You've been meeting with Kamal and them, with Mr. Organ involved, both of you. And this is an all-star team of selected players or nonprofits, folks who are concerned to see what we can do to come together. This is the first time this has happened. And we've been up since 6 to get ready for this show. Wow. And we're not finished until 5 this evening.
Oh, wow.
You know, we got a meeting. The minute this show is over, we got a 12 o'clock meeting.
Yes.
And you... And both of y'all are part of the meeting.
Yes, absolutely.
And folk, we like to invite everybody else who have a program or a skill or something that you can bring to the table, because we're talking about our kids.
Saving our kids.
Yeah, saving our kids. Sharia lost her son. I lost 5 people in my family to gun violence. And it hurts. I mean, and it hurts deeply, and it never goes away. And we don't want to see nobody else. So if you're listening on and sitting on your couch looking at TV and listening to us, please get involved. Call Donnie Shaw at the Rotary Club. You can call Sharia Tribble.
At 1-800-628-2608.
Give me the number.
Say that again.
1-800-628-2608.
All right, Donnie, give me your number. After.
Mine's a cell phone. You know, as a retiree, you don't have an office anymore. It's in places like Ben's Chili Bowl, parking lots at the Walmart. 202-369-7971. And please, my phone's a little quirky. If I don't answer, please leave me a voicemail or you can text me, but don't try to catch me.
Say that number again.
202-369-7971.
You are the incoming president of the Rotary Club. What plans do you have for the Rotary Club to get involved in the community and see what he can do, because you got some resources in the Rotary Club. We got a saying we use, Don, and say we have the horses, but we don't have the resources. And we got men and women who are really ready to get involved, but we can't connect to the people who can sign the checks and make the funds available. So what are some of the plans you got in mind for Rotary Club and how you propose to deal with some of the violence in this city?
Well, we're going to start by being an integral part of Time to Get Involved.
Yes. Okay.
About that.
Beautiful. That's the first
and
step.
And again, money talks.
Yeah.
Measurables and data walks. So we can show our impact in addition to the anecdotal stories, but we can show the measurables to people like Rotary and keep it going. I said earlier that God brought us here for a reason. And I'm just listening to Miss Kimball, and she mentioned that the Green family did a well. Well, it was the aquatics director at St. Albans Pool up here at National Cathedral, Rob Green, that made me who I am. That's my mentor. And he played the long game with me. And so I hope to have Rotary play the long game in violence prevention. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like to do is to compliment my previous president's efforts, such as making Rotary a household name. And I have a year to do this, so I know I can work hard enough to make Rotary a household name in DC. Rotary has a foundation that gives out over $200,000+ a year through the community service grants. That application will happen. Well, that application happens every January through the whole month. And that's your opportunity.
So it's passed now.
It's passed, but that's okay. You build the relationship right now with people such as Kenny Barnes from Root. I recruited Kenny Barnes 100 years ago to be on Rotary.
105.
Yeah, and just before that, quiet as it's kept, I recruited Kenny Barnes thanks to my dear childhood friend, Calvin Woodland. I recruited Kenny Barnes to be on the board of the Y of National Capital, that big Y downtown. So that's my history with Kenny. I used to shadow him to some of his speaking engagements to the elementary school kids as he was canvassing, looking to see how many of them were affected by gun violence. Miss Kimball, the Rotary, you know, it's been around since 1905, started in Chicago. And what's fascinating is that it started in Chicago in February of 1905. And where are we today?
February.
And then the DC Rotary Club started in 1912. So you can imagine how many resources and connections that have been generated that are still going strong with the Rotary Club. And then you have your ripple effect, like dealing with the YMCA and what it has to offer. The YMCA saves lives, simple math. And they play the long game better. They get you from the cradle to the grave. You know, we have programs for child care, infant care in some YMCAs, all the way to the seniors with fit and well seniors. You have people like the RGHI, the Renee G. Haley Initiative, which is I invite the public to Google it. It is a very unique way of saving lives. It underwrites non-traditional sports for children. And another degree of separation is that you mentioned, Mr. Brown, about what chess does to character building. Well, the Rotary has a display over at the Lamont Riggs beautiful renovated library that is in conjunction with the Red Cross and the YMCA displaying the results of volunteerism, like what we virtually do. And over there, we were there Saturday promoting this display where you can go get a history lesson on volunteerism by these three entities. Volunteerism and its impact. You can't do nothing without volunteers. That's why you got to be nice to them. They don't get paid, but they show up for work.
Yeah.
So what was the organization you said?
Renee G. Haley Initiative. That is a program that helps underwrite the cost of kids doing non-traditional activities. Like they're underwriting the kids getting the swim lessons at at YMCA Anthony Bowen.
Spell that, please.
Renee G. Haley Initiative.
H-A-L-E-Y.
H-A-L-E-Y.
Okay, thank you.
G as in gold.
So back to I'm gonna end it on this one. You were asking me what is the Rotary gonna do? I'm gonna tell you, stay tuned. The Rotary is going to impact. I know that much. And Kenny Barnes has been an advocate in getting the Rotary to touch the lives of the average DC resident. And here we go.
You know, I'm like I said, we spoke last year at the Rotary Club, and I was impressed with it. But one of the things that we alluded to in our talk at the Rotary Club is that for the Rotary Club, as you just said, to get more involved. We need everybody to get involved in what's going on. Every day a kid is losing their life or a teacher is stabbed or somebody's going off and hurting and killing somebody needlessly. And we sit and look at the TV and say, wow. But until it happens to you, it'll make you get up off that seat, break out running, and go down and do whatever to anybody to see what you can do to help or make a difference. So you're in a key position, Don and Shaw. And so are you, Shawn. You're on the radio and millions of people listening to what you're saying. Our show goes around the world.
Can I get the mic? Wow.
You tell it to the hat, man.
And the good thing what Donnie and Shelly, what you both are doing, is other organizations are doing what you were doing, so they need to join in. So we're not reinventing the wheel. So that's the purpose of having all these meetings. That's one thing that's happening in the DMV area. Organizations, guys who did 20, 30, 40, 50 years. These are mentors. These are the guys who can mentor these young men.
Absolutely.
Who don't have their parents. That's why they're acting crazy. They weren't brought up with the love and discipline.
We always talk about the elephant syndrome. And folks don't know what we mean. And that in Africa and India, elephants were destroying villages, cars, buildings, running over, walking over people. And the reason why is that all these elephants, mothers, they were killed the mothers to take their tusk. So you got a whole bunch of orphan elephants without no direction, without no purpose. And they're destroying everything. They went in the jungle and bought 3 male bull elephants and left them there with these young elephants. And in 2-3 months, you thought they worked for Ring Brothers, all of us holding each other's tail with the trunk, walking around. So they learn. We need to learn from animals. The animals had a problem with the youngsters being out of control. And they brought in these old bull elephants to get them in trouble. We got some old bull elephants that's ready to get involved. We're bulls. We're old elephants. We've been out there for 10, 20, 30 years, but we can do something. But we got men and women who are part of the problem, who are now part of the solution. And the problem is, because we don't know the right person to get to push the right button, you get passed around and changed around, and people are dying. You know, and I'm hurt. I'm almost 80. I am 80. You know, almost nothing. And people, we need to do something to stop some of this. I wanted to see whatever I do before I leave off this planet to make it safe for somebody else's kid, man. The kid get an opportunity to live with some dignity and some pride and take care of their families.
That's right. Make an impact.
Go ahead.
Yes, we want to make an impact.
And what kind of impact are you making?
An impact by just being involved. Time to get involved. Time to step up to the plate and help out.
Okay. And are there any success stories that you got from building bridges other than you?
This one today.
So I built the bridge today. That's an old YMCA campaign line, building bridges.
There you go.
So I'm telling you, God put us here together.
You're right, because she need help. You with the Rotary Club, and you can help her. And we need this kind of help. This is called networking. We need to network.
One-on-one.
And we're networking using the radio program to say, for those folk who are listening, get up off the couch, man. You can sit there and turn the channel and play your remote all day long and somebody's kid get killed. And you look at the 6 o'clock news and say, wow, you could stop it. If you're on the corner, we work with a group called Boots on the Ground with the Nation of Islam and a group called Cruz. These are some of these what we call all-star players who's risking their life in the community. And every Monday and Friday, they're on Eli Place in Minnesota Avenue in front of Kimball Elementary in Sousa Middle School. And these guys walking the kids back and forth to the bus stops, talking to them, exchanging them, giving them T-shirts and sweaters, helping them out, establishing a relationship, a communications channel, so they can start relating. And they don't have the resources. to help out. We talked to one of your friends from the Rotary Club, Dr. Sam Hancock. In fact, we met with Sam 2 months ago right here, trying to get some funds to help the boots on the ground. Yes. Folk, if you're listening, if you have any resources, any contact, please call us or call Donnie Shaw or Sharia. We need your help. We need funds. We're just talking, but we ain't saving nobody's life talking. We're reaching you to get us some resources so we can go out and do what needs to be done. Help us, please.
Mr. Brown, do you know, again, another degree of separation is that my son took up ice skating and then hockey at Fort DuPont, and he wind up becoming the first kid to get the NHL Hockey is for Everyone scholarship from the NHL and Ted Leonsis, and is managed by the Thurgood Marshall College Scholarship Fund. And you can Google it and you can see him. But that is the results of the long game that you guys are doing, starting with boots on the ground. Right across the street is an activity that is a non-traditional sport, but allow my son to go to college and play D3 hockey as a left winger representing Washington, D.C. Wow. He's part of the famous Cannons, who have a movie about them under Coach Neal. Yes, Coach Neal.
Is he playing pro hockey now?
He did not go pro, and I was sad because I was looking at that Maserati. But it's all right. My son wound
up. We got a Volkswagen for
Yeah, he wound up. He wound up doing another bright thing. The mayor was offering vocation courses at UDC College, and he took up HVAC for a year, and now he's in Long Island, married, doing HVAC.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Yes,
that's
so beautiful. He went that route. But that's the key. That hockey over there on Eli, across from those beautiful schools, is playing a long game along with partners like Building Bridges and Miss Kimball, myself, and another person that has been instrumental in my life, quiet as it's kept, is Frank Malone. Yeah. Frank Malone started a grassroots group of us called 100 Fathers. And they're still doing just that hands-on activity. Just before the pandemic, he was making headway at Baloo, where he was meeting with the ninth graders. Got to the point where the ninth graders believed that they weren't fly by night. Because you know, a lot of times these kids, they don't trust you. They see you come and go. But if you put in the years with them, you build up that credibility, which was what I was able to do over 37 years at the Y. And networking was part of my karma. You know,
we had Frank Malone on 2 months ago on the show. We went 100 Fathers. He's also a part of our Let's All Get Involved in the crew. We meet every Wednesday at the Nation of Islam on Pennsylvania, Alabama. We've been meeting for the past 18 months. And we got organization leaders, community leaders, nonprofit. And we got like what we call an all-star team of selected nonprofits that can do anything and everything. Folk who've been doing this for 15, 20, 30 years. So we know their track record. We know their history. So we've been trying to get the resources and working with Rotary Club and other clubs to see what we can do to get the resources. We can solve this. We can reduce the crime. But everybody walk by, see a bunch of young black boys walk down the street, and they cross over to the other side. They don't want, these are our kids, but we're afraid of them because nobody's given them or can reach them. But we got the reaches that can teach. We got guys who did 40, 50, 60, I'm telling you, 50 years. And they come out in the community, roll up their sleeve and say, what can I do to stop some of this foolishness? But they don't even get, they can't even afford car fare to come over there to do this service. They don't have a stipend. They don't have a job. They don't have a place to stay. And now they're passing these laws that say punish the kids. I'll tell another story, and then I get off of this. A five-year-old kid came in my office and said, Mr. Roach, I need a job. I started laughing. 5 years old. I'm laughing. Don't listen to the story. Look behind the scene. So I hired him for 2-3 days to dump out the trash. He came on the third day and said, Mr. Roach. I said, yeah. He said, I need a raise. I said, you need a raise. And he ain't but five. He needed money at 5 years old. Marion Barry has his summer youth leadership. And for 90 days, kids get a check every 2 weeks. They feel important. They feel independent. They feel a part of society. And when the 90 days is over, they go back to school. They don't get no more money. Kids need money. And a five-year-old kid realized he needed a salary at five. And kids 11, 12, 13, we have paperboy routes. We could carry groceries. They don't have these kind of things for kids. And kids need money. Last night on TV, three boys jumped on a teacher up in Lamont Riggs uptown. Robbed her, took a car, and it strode off. They don't have no money. They ain't got, they rob a 7-Eleven. Ain't $100, it ain't $100 worth of merchandise in the store. And you rob them. So again, we need to find ways that these kids can earn some money that will reduce the threat of them taking something or hurting somebody else. But if these businesses and the Rotary Club, who got businesses, can offer jobs during the winter and the fall, not just in the summer, because they got to live when the summer job program is over, they still have to live. They still need money. So we need to rethink this whole paradigm of how these kids, tell a kid he got to wait till he's 18 or 19. He's 11 years old and want to pay Air Jordans. He got to wait 8 years to get them.
It was Courtney Malloy that tagged it recently. It's the economy, stupid, just like George Carville said. And it really is. You'd be surprised when a youngster has money in their pocket, how it helps build their character. Mm-hmm. It's not often talked about. The reality is that the younger a kid is able to make some money, the better off they'll be. And you know the backstory. Sometimes these kids are trying to help cover the keep of the house. Yeah. Get them early.
Man out of house.
And aquatics is the tool that I've been able to use. If I can convince the parents to keep their kids in the water for a long time, they can grow up and get these lifeguard jobs that pay $25 an hour out the gate. Yes. And the jobs indoor, outdoor, they can work year round. They can work while they're, if they decide to go to college or a vocation school, they can mix it too, have the lifeguard job while they're still going to school. The lifeguard puts them around communities that are very positive. Aquatics people, that money. Folks around aquatics are generally doing pretty good.
Like Roche says all the time, we want to solve the issues, give people jobs.
Yep.
Jobs solve crime.
Reduce crime.
It needs to earn money.
I have a couple of minutes left. You want to give us your closing remarks, Shara, then Donnie?
Yes, empowering our foster care youth to help themselves. Crossing into independence.
That was short and sweet. I was hoping I can get a little more time to think out my thought, Ms. Kimball. Thanks a lot. I tell you, she kept it simple.
And short.
Well, I'd like to invite everyone to look up the entities we spoke about. That is the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C.
Phone number.
The YMCA. And you can get the phone number and everything off of that Google now. Google is where it's at, quiet as it's kept. And you Google the YMCA of Metropolitan Washington. You Google also the RGHI and RG Haley Initiative. And you'll see that they invite you to connect with them. Time to get involved, Mr. Brown. Mr. and Mrs. Brown is going to be our tool to not reinvent the wheel. If we use this as our umbrella, it helps us learn about what others are doing. And Rotary is going to be a part of Time to Get Involved. Trust me.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity to connect.
Go ahead, give your phone number.
Crossing into Independence, 1-800-628-2608. 1-800-628-2608. Thank you.
You've been listening to Crossroads, hosted by Roach and Mertine Brown. We want to say thanks to our guest, Donnie Shaw. Time for us to get involved in the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C. And Shara Kimball, Diversified Resources Consultant and Crossing into Independence. We need everybody. Like I said, it's time for us all to get involved. This is our city, our community, and our kids. Whether you know them or not, they're our kids. And we can do something about it to redirect them and help them. This show is about helping folk, giving out information to put you on top of what the issues are in the community. And I want to say thanks to Donnie Shaw. I thought you was the guy to lock me up, but it was your father. And Shara Kimball, Crossing into Independence. God, I want to thank you both. And if you want to follow them, you can call us here at the station and we give you the other information if you lost it or lost contact with them. But please get involved, people.
Can I give a shout out to my colleagues, Joni Eisenberg. She has taught me so much over the years. And I want to say her, Chuck and others. And I want you to know that the Rotary Club under the president of Marilyn Cruz, they took guys that are incarcerated and built their character through writing.
Yeah. Okay, so that's been Crossroads. This is the first hour of a two-hour special. The first Tuesday of each month, we do it live from Ben's Chili Bowl. For our next hour, we have Lamont Curry, the director of the Mayor's Office on Returning Citizens Affairs. And that's an office I started 30 years ago. I was the first director of the Mayor's Office of Returning Affairs. And they're doing a fantastic job. So Lamont will be joining us in the second hour. I want to thank all our guests, and we want to thank Guillermo, Mo Thomas, Mike Nacella, and all you critters that's been helping us to do this show. And when you get mad at me, tell it to the hat. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you for the next hour. Thank you.
You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a...
Georgetown University professor Maurice Jackson and NEA jazz master Willard Jenkins will interview each other about their books as well as sign them at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 11th at the Hill Center at 921 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. This is the third session of the series, Our City, Our Music, Our Writers. Details at hillcenterdc.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at wpfwfm.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at wpfwfm.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 and stations, and then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW. And it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show, you and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. Support from listeners like you are the tools that have built WPFW over nearly five decades. We provide news, music worth listening to, and in-depth conversations about your community and the world. One of the many ways that you could contribute is to donate a vehicle that you no longer need, running or not. It can do wonders for WPFW, so donate it for a tax break for 2024. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Whether it's the courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, as well as other liberatory musical forms, blues, hip-hop, house, WPFW has been an unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of the culture. Now's the time for you to display your courage and commitment to truly independent press by donating during our Winter Pledge Drive from February 9th through the 22nd. It is with your generous financial support that WPFW, this emancipatory educational media outlet, continues to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.